excited to see the choir up here.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, thank you. We have choir practice at 5:45 on Wednesday nights. And we're going to probably have a few extra now. We're going to try to do a Christmas special. We started this past Wednesday, and might be a little harder than it's supposed to be. We're going to work on it. We're excited. I hope that you are. The choir is responding to Kathy and Wayne. Wayne, thank you so much. He always fills in the gap, and he's so good. You know, I'm very grateful to our choir. Their attitude has been excellent. Kathy has volunteered to help us with the Christmas special, which, Kathy, wherever you are, thank you so much for that. So we're looking forward to what God does. Our trustees have signed the bank loan for our new building. It is legal, and we are on the hook for a lot of money. Several people asked me how we're going to pay for it. And we're not. The Lord is.
Amen, brother. Praise
He will use each one of us. My prayer is that He speaks to each one of us and incites our heart where we don't have any financial concerns at all. How we're going to use it, we're going to say yes to the Lord, whatever He tells us to do. It's all for Him and all about Him. And several people have asked me if I'm worried. I'm not worried one bit anymore. You know, at first I had never done anything stepping out like this. I was concerned about it. I never worried, but I'm not worried. God is absolutely in control.
Amen.
I'm not worried about this country because God is in control of this country.
Amen.
Your man may have won or your man may have lost, but God is still in control of all this.
Amen.
He is going to be glorified one way or another. Our job, I told them, here's my quiet time with the Lord this morning. I know some of you really will get mad at me about this, but just get over it. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not an independent. I'm a dependent on God.
Amen.
I am a Christian. I will vote the way God tells me to vote. There's some that I really vote for, some I don't. But number one, I'm a Christian and you are too. No matter what goes on in this country, people are looking at us. And we may not like what's taking place, but our needs can sure make a difference. So we're going through these Psalms of ascent, and one of the reasons is to get our attitudes and our hearts focused on God.
Amen.
And we're going to pray. We have some things to pray about before we get started. Carol Murphy's daughter, Kira, had a baby about 5 months ago, and he died last night. So we need to pray for both of them, Kira and Carol. And the hard part about that, the harder part is, Carol's in ICU. So she doesn't know what's wrong with her. Doctors haven't figured out she's at Tenova. So we need to pray for Carol and Kira. Irish, the young boy, was premature, never could eat by himself, never did suck on a bottle. He's been fed artificially ever since he'd been born. And I guess it just went to his lungs and he died of that. So it's a real sad time for them. And we'll see what God has in store for that. We have some still looking for jobs. We have some that are hurting in the homes. We've got plenty to pray about. Pray for our church. So let's go to the Lord and pray together. Almighty Father, what a privilege it is to be in the house of God this morning. To worship, to feel you, Father, to feel the very presence of Jesus with us. Father, we depend on you. Think about the future of this country. knowing that, God, this country is in the palm of your hand. You will have your way one way or another. God, we're on your team. We're people of God. You're our Lord, our Savior. Today, Father, we claim you. We ask, Lord, that you would look on us and give us strength. Help us, Father, to get through the next few weeks as this country struggles continually with election things. Help us to realize, Lord, that number one, we're your children. We're Christians. We're different. We're peculiar. We've been set aside to honor you, to live for you, to be obedient to you. So, Father, I pray that through all this mess in the United States, that people would see Jesus Christ in us. Help us to continue to pray out to you, to seek your leadership in all of the things that we do. Thank you, Lord, for the open doors for the Family Life Center. Father, help us to begin the process of building and determine in our heart to commit to you, to get it paid for, to use it. Help us to be obedient, Father, to the Great Commission, which is to reach out to those that do not know Jesus. God, I pray that you would make the path smooth. And God, that you would take care of all the problems. We pray for our loved ones, Father, that have lost loved ones this past week. We've had several funerals in our church. We'll have a time of mourning with Kira and Carol. Father, I ask your blessings on them, that they would feel the very presence of God with them, encourage them, Lord, and love them. We ask, Lord, that you would look at us, Father, that you would convict us of any sin in our life. Forgive us of our sin. Forgive us for being unchristlike at times, for saying no to you when you tell us to do so. God, as we open up the Word of God, I pray, Lord, that you give us your thoughts, your wisdom. Help us to understand, Lord, what you're telling us. Father, I pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God is so good.
All the time.
All the time. Psalm 126, we'll continue to look at these psalms as we look to him for worship. Psalm 126, just a few verses, six verses. So let's read it together, and I want to share some thoughts. And by the way, this was a pretty exciting set of verses to read. The Bible says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Somebody has called these psalms of ascent, stepping stones to God's heart. They teach us to look to the heavens as we worship God, and as we go through the things of life on this earth and this kingdom. They teach us to get excited about the time that we spend with our Master. Now, I wrote that down and went on to the next, but I need to pause. Let's think this out a minute. To teach us to get excited about thinking about the time we spend with the Master. I hope you have a quiet time every day, a time just for you and the Lord, a time that you set aside to pray, to read your Bible, to study the Word, but also a time to be still and be quiet and let the Lord Jesus speak to you. Where you focus what God will do with you. Every day, God's liable to give you a different direction if you listen. I know that all of us at times have questions of, God, what are you doing in my life? What do you want me to do? So I'm asking you to get excited about spending time, and I call him the master. He is our master.
Amen.
And the things that he will tell us as we listen to him, we're especially going to need that as a church as we get into this building process. So again, I hope that you spend time with Jesus every day. I hope that you read your Bible every day. I hope that you listen to the Lord every single day. And I know from experience that when you look, I don't know how many people are here right now, but I know that not everybody has a quiet time with the Lord. You will get excited when you get used to spending time with Jesus every day. It will change your life. You'll see things that you never saw before when God starts speaking to you. Well, let's keep on going. They also teach us to remember the past and seeing what we've gone through, that God is with us. We've talked about this several times already. We learn to appreciate God as we've gone through life. I don't know what else to call it. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so hot, the things that we go through. But we've already talked about this in every one of these songs. God has gone through all these things with us, and we claim, God, you will never leave us nor forsake us. And although sometimes it feels like he's not there, he is. And we just learn through studying these songs that God's always with us. He's always with his people. We sang the song this morning, we're marching to Zion, to remind us that Zion is the spiritual symbol for Jerusalem and the presence of God. So as we sing, we're marching to Zion, we're realizing that we're focusing on God, we're looking to God, we're a process of doing to get to the Lord. Whether it be through prayer, whether it be through something of works, we're marching to Zion. Now, again, I wrote that down, it's so easy just to write it down, but I just want to share with you my heart. We, as a church, are marching to Zion. We're marching to God's presence for this church. We're marching to find a new will, a new purpose, a new thing. Every single day, God's big will. But there's also little things in there that he's drawing us to do that sometimes we overlook. Sometimes we just have to say, no, we're not going to do it. But you and I, as a church body, as Christian brothers and sisters, we're marching together to Zion, to God's presence. We're doing it to worship him together. So as we travel to Mount Zion to worship, they would look back and look at what God's done for them. So my question becomes, do we constantly look back? We're just looking back in the past and looking at all God's done for us. I could ask for testimonies right now, and I bet we'd have 10 people stand up and say, this is what God did for me in 1953 or 1958 or 1972. Specific times that God has done something spectacular in your life. Do you absolutely know without a doubt that God is in control of your life, in charge of your life, and he's walking with you, and he has done great, great, great things for you in your life?
Amen.
Steve, I'm looking at you guys, and I have seen time and time again God do great things in your life. I can look on this side. I can see all the way around where God has done great things in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for that. We're marching to Zion, where God dwells. The New Testament says God dwells with us. We're a temple now. So we're marching in God's presence.
Amen.
Which brings me to a chapter I was reading this morning, so I want to share it with you. Psalm 146, verses 5 through 10. Psalm 146, and I haven't, this was my quiet time this morning, but it fit really good into this, and I thought I'd share this because it ties in with Psalm 126. So Psalm 146, starting in verse 5, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Now, What does that verse say to us? Happy and blessed are those who claim God as your Lord.
Amen.
He is your master. Whose help is in the Lord his God. So all of us that are work-oriented, we think that we have to do things. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in God to accomplish things that we cannot accomplish. God will call us to do impossible things, and he knows they're impossible. But what's the Bible tell us? All things are possible in Christ. Verse 6, I read this at 2:45 this morning. Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. You know what I did after I read that? I went out on my back deck, 2:45 a.m. Did you guys know there's a 2:45 a.m.? And I looked out and I saw the glorious stars. No clouds, no obstruction. And I just sank to my knees. It just hit me that God created every single one of those stars with a purpose in mind for each one of those stars. I have no idea what those purposes are. I can't even pronounce their names. But I can see the glory, and as I looked at that, I saw the glory of God. Verse 6, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps the truth. How long? Forever. Yeah. 7, verse 7. He who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. He's talking about us.
Amen.
I can't think of a time I've ever been hungry. But I can think of a time when I've been captive to sin. I've been in prison with sin. Verse 8. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who bow down. The Lord loves the righteous. Do you hear the encouragement that we're getting here? The Lord loves those that are righteous in Jesus. Verse 9, the Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. He doesn't want anything to do with the wicked other than to draw them to him and save them. And isn't that just a really good encouraging verse? The Lord watches over those strangers. Now, what's that speak to us as a church? There's a lot of strangers in this world. And doesn't God use us to do his work? We are to watch over those strangers. We may not care for their policies or the way they act, but they're strangers to God. And we need to get them saved. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. In the United States, we don't have a lot of problem with that. Churches are trying to take care of the widows, and we're supposed to take care of our widows. But in the world, there's a lot of widows that have nobody taking care of them except God the Father. Verse 10, the Lord shall reign for how long? Forever.
Right.
Your God, O Zion, to all generations. And when I read that, all generations, well, that spoke to me, because I'm part of that all. This is my quiet time. You're part of the all generations. So even though this was written years and years ago, had us in mind. Thank you, God. And then it ends up, praise the Lord. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Yes, sir. I started to say that earlier. Praise the Lord. Good gracious. Well, that was just free. That didn't cost you anything. But didn't that fit in what we're studying now? That's just the way God is. So let's go back to Psalm 126. As we meet in our church together every Sunday, and I'm reading from my quiet time this morning, Psalm 146, and I'm getting excited about that, and then I'm thinking about this statement. We meet in our church together every Sunday, and it's with great joy and awe that I get to look at you guys. Thank the Lord for all that he's done for us as a church. But from a pastor standpoint, I get to look at some of you that were 11 years old when we got here. Now some of you have children, and you're bringing them to church. So we're seeing generation, we see your parents here, we see you here, now we see the kids here. So we got three generations that this pastor gets to look at. And my heart just sometimes want to jump out of my chest. I get so excited and looking at the different baptisms. And yes, some of them, we buried some of our loved ones too. And that's part of the pastor's job too. I see God all around every situation we go through. We've had some health issues since I've been here. And what a joy it is, and good night, all that you experience when you realize that God has touched somebody and healed them. They may not be healed perfectly in our eyes, but they're healed just like God wants to heal them.
Amen.
That's a yee-haw.
Yee-haw.
Yes, sir. As we come to worship, the title of this message is Worshiping Between the Past and the Promises of the Future. So listen to what I'm talking about. We're worshiping in the past through the promises of God's Word. So all in between, we're worshiping. Yeah, God died on that cross for all of us. I worship that. I worship Him in the past. And I know what the promise is. One day He's coming back. And if we're still alive when He comes back, we're going to meet Him in there.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. The promise is He's coming back.
Amen.
So the past and the promises of the hope and the future and all in between. And all in between is what we call life. And we still worship Almighty God. That's our future. I read this story. The Mountain Valley Cathedral in a remote Swiss village was one of the most beautiful churches in the region. One of the features that attracted so many people to the cathedral was its beautiful pipe organ. Anybody ever been in a church with a pipe organ? Have you ever heard it play? Isn't it wonderful? We got married in a church that had a beautiful pipe organ. And the organist had to be trained on how to play it. You can't just get up there and play the pipe organ. But the monies that goes into to getting those pipe organs, and they're magnificent. Some of them are huge. Some of them would fill that whole balcony up there with different stacks of pipes. But anyways, the story goes, everybody was attracted to this cathedral because of the pipe organ. People would come from miles away to hear the lovely tones of this organ. But one day, the organ fell silent. Musicians and experts from all around the world tried to repair it. No one succeeded. Then one day, an old man appeared and asked permission to try to fix the organ. After working on it for several days, the community once again was filled with the glorious music. Farmers dropped their plows, merchants closed their stores. Everyone stopped what they were doing and headed for the church. When the old man finished playing, someone asked him how he fixed the organ. His answer was this: "It was I who built this organ 50 years ago. I created it, now I restored it." Well, I thought about God and His church. God created this church. He created this church. He created the United States of America. He created this world.
Amen.
He created you. He's done great things for His church. He's done great things for the United States of America. He's done great things for this world. And He's done great things for you guys. If we get broken, guess what? He's going to fix us. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You know, I've been trying to cut these sermons down, but I just got that on page one. So as we think about Psalm 126 today, I want you to think about the times that God has delivered you out of bondage or out of the captivity of something. Sometimes we're in bondage to sin all our lives. Sometimes we're held captive to self. Sometimes we get ate up with guilt. And we're just like we're in prison because we feel guilty. I want you to think about what God can and will do for you. And as He brings you out of the bondage, out of the captivity, or whatever you feel like you're being held captive with, realize this: when He brings you out, He gives you a brand new life. He revives you. He gives you a second chance, if you would. He gives you a new breath of life. And as He does all, these songs are teaching us is to give Him honor and glory for the times that He brings us out of these captivities, those bondages. And as He gives us that second chance, anybody ever go through a second chance? I have several times. I've had a lot of second chances. And doesn't God bring us through them as we look back at the past? At the time, we didn't know that God was working with us and giving us a second chance. But man, when He delivers you out of that bondage or captivity, you just know it. You have this thing that just rolls off your shoulders. And you get this peace that passes all understanding. And as you get that, you know it's from God. So what He's asking us to do is honor Him and praise Him. That's what these people are doing as they step back, going up towards Jerusalem. They're singing, they're looking back at the past, and they're praising God for all that He's done for them. So we'll get to verses 1 through 3 now. That's all introduction. And we'll see that God brings His people out of captivity. God restores them with another chance to live for Him. They feel that freedom that passes all understanding that Paul tells us about. Many scholars now believe that this was the 7 years of captivity in Jerusalem, but it could have been any captivity. I want us to hear that whatever we're going through, if we're held captive, God can rescue us out of that. So let's read verses 1 through 3 and listen to God rescuing them. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. And our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. So when we think about what we just read, their reaction was that they felt like they were dreaming. Things were so good after God brought them out of captivity. It was like a dream. They began to laugh. They began to sing. They began to testify and witness to others. Look what God has done for us. He's done great things for us. And they were looking not only back, looking forward as they went to Zion, as they went to the presence of God. Can you look back at a time when God did a great thing for you? Amen. If you can, go with me on this. And let me tell you, God's done great things for every one of us. Did you stand in awe and joy of God when He delivered you?
Amen.
Sometimes we forget about that. We just take it for granted. God's going to take care of it. We don't know about life. God does something great for you, there ought to be awe in your life. There ought to be this joy that just jumps up in your heart, in your chest, in your body, and it almost makes you want to be Pentecostal.
Yeah.
Makes you want to stand up, and we're Baptist, you know, it's hard to do that. But when God does something and you're in awe, this reason I say we don't always think of God and being all of Him, but if God was right there, I promise you, we'd be on our knees. If God was right there, we'd get up off our knees and we wouldn't mind doing this in front of God. So, as He did something for you, did you stand in awe and joy, almost dreaming, man, this is good stuff, it's almost too good, don't wake me up from this dream. Even to the point of dropping to your knees and praising God on your knees. And stay there as long as it takes to show God that you mean business. Thank you, God. And this is exactly the point that God wants you at. A humbled heart before God. No matter what the circumstances are, He wants us to be humble before Him, to realize that God can do anything. He is God. He is Lord. Maybe it was the day that you first got saved and that freedom that you felt when the burden of sin was taken off your shoulders. It's no wonder that when you go through baptism and salvation baptism, that you feel like marching to Zion. Maybe it was a time of great despair in your life, a marital deal or a family issue, where if you've ever had teenagers, you know you go through things. And you just despair because you love them so much. And then God answers that. And that's the time when don't you start marching to Zion again. We're marching to Zion. What God's done for me. Or maybe it's when you got so far away from God that you're embarrassed to come back to God. And He speaks to you in such a way that your heart just revives. And you just got to come back to church. And as you do, your heart starts singing, we're marching to Zion. We're marching to God's presence. So in verses 1 through 3, we see God's people speak of their deliverance. We hear them speak with a delight in their mouths, in their hearts. And they speak to all who will listen and hear them singing how great God is, all the great things God has done for us. And then they think about their future. I put my pen down, and this is what I said as I wrote that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our future. What a blessing it is to be a child of God. Promises that God gives us. In Psalm 146, to all generations, to us. Well, let's keep on going and look at verses 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God is telling us about a promise and giving us instructions of how to pray.
Amen.
Now listen, this is important. He's telling us about a promise, but he's also giving us instructions of how to pray if we want that promise. Remember in verses 1 through 3, they've been delivered from captivity and their hearts were overjoyed with praise and they broke out in that praise and testimony and to the point of laughing to the Lord and having a great time in the Lord, and they just knew that they'd been delivered. But the application to us is that remember what God has done for you. Remember what God has done for our church. Remember what God has done for the United States of America. Remember what God has done for this world. And remember those who don't have what you have in your heart, what God has done for you. God has allowed them to come out of that captivity with a joy in their heart to the point of they're raising their hands, praising God. They're laughing, they're singing, they're giving testimony of what God has done. And he's saying, that's all great, but now I want you to sow in tears because there's people in this world that don't have what you have. In deep, heartfelt humility, the Bible says, sow in tears for those who need God's help. Church, this is something we need to practice. Sowing in tears for those people that don't have our victories. They don't have those great things that God has done for us. We are different. God takes care of us. He delivers us. He touches us and heals us. Have you ever had a financial need and all of a sudden the money showed up? God takes care of our financial needs. He doesn't give us everything that we want. But I don't think there's a single person here that's going hungry. He takes care of our needs. I was asked to pray about certain things today. Well, guess what? God has those under control. But the world, a lot of people in the world don't have that. And God knows that. God knows how many people don't have that. He knows what he gave to the church, us, all generations. And now he tells us to go sowing in tears for those people that are without. If you sow in tears, the promise is this, that you'll reap in joy. And we need joy in our hearts. We have a promise here. If you sow in tears, then you're going to reap in joy. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that you win somebody for Christ, but that's pretty good. But if you just tell them what God has done for you and give them such a testimony that they want what you have, and then you can lead them to wherever God tells you to lead them. Can you imagine being in heaven, knowing that you've cried these tears for a loving, maybe you got a son that's wayward, and you cried, Mom, you've been crying ever since he started doing things that teenagers do, and completely off the path of righteousness. You've had him in church or had her in church all their lives, and now they leave the nest and they're wild. They get out of God's control and they really don't care about anything. And every day you cry in your prayers for them. You just sow those tears. Or maybe it's somebody, a friend that's lost, and you just cry for them. Maybe you've done that for 40 years or 50 years. We've been praying for some of our loved ones for years and years and years. Every day we pray for them. We cry for them. And one day we're going to die. One day you're going to die. Can you imagine being in heaven and all those tears that you cried for somebody, you never saw the results. And maybe 20 years after you get in heaven, I don't know how this is going to happen, so this is just Jerry talking now. Here they come walking up to heaven. Isn't that great to think you cried all those tears for somebody and you didn't see the results, yet you've had the time of your life in heaven. Here they come. You've sown in tears. What do you think your reaction will be when you see them come up into heaven? You've already experienced all kinds of joy. I mean, it's going to be 100% joy. I don't know how much more joy you can stand. But it's going to be a promise. You will reap in joy. Sow in tears and reap the joy. Again, thank you, Lord. Verse 6 tells us sowing in tears is an ongoing process. It's not just one time. You keep on because those people need Jesus. They need what the church has to offer. We continually sow for their deliverance. Charles Spurgeon called these kind of tears liquid prayer. We cry as we pray. Someday, you'll see the harvest. That's from the Lord. I heard it on TV. I was watching Michael Youssef preach this morning. He was talking about Moses and the 10 plagues. And each time, God would tell Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. Let my people go, Michael Youssef, over and over. Let my people go. And man, it's going to my heart now. So in tears, let my people go. It's the same thought process. Moses was told to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Talk about God saying, let my people go. Moses, you shed tears for God's people. We shed tears. And how many of us every day ought to be praying, or how many of us do pray? Let those people come. Let those people come to church. I did a study on tears. This was a really fun message. I came up with 6 types of tears just in a short amount of time. We have tears of sorrow and suffering. All of us experience those kind of tears. We've had tears of joy mentioned in the Bible. We've had tears of compassion mentioned in the Bible. We've had tears of desperation mentioned in the Bible. We have tears of travail or painful, laborious efforts, something starting and going to the finish. And that's what we're going to do with the Family Life Center. We'll be crying tears for that. And then tears of repentance. Probably more, I didn't have time to do an exhaustive study, but that's 6 different kinds of tears. And I wrote this down as I studied this. It takes a real person of God to shed tears. I wasn't going to say it takes a real man of God, but women too. I mean, all of us together, a Christian, a person of God. It takes a person of God to shed tears for those that don't have. Then I finish up my study looking at Jesus. You know how many times we have written in the Bible that Jesus shed tears? This is a wept over Jerusalem. The Bible tells us in John 11:35, Jesus wept. He wept over Jerusalem. His heart was broken for his people. Remember when Lazarus was buried and Jesus didn't go right to the tomb? And as he went, Martha came out and cried, Lord, if you'd been here, you could have taken care of this. And Jesus wept for his brother that died, knowing that he's going to have to call him back from paradise. Jesus wept. And then in Hebrews 5:7-8, the Bible says, in the days of Jesus' flesh, knowing the cruel cross that awaited him, he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Father, to the God our Father. He knew that he was going to die on the cross. He knew it was going to be painful. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went to the Lord and he cried, Lord, not your will, not my will, but your will. So there's a big deal about tears in God. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. Thank you, God, for all that you do for us. Let's pray. Father Almighty, thank you, God, for your blessings, your love, your grace. Thank you for all, Lord, that you've done for us. I thank you in advance for what you're going to do for us. From the past to the future, and all in between, help us live and praise you, Father, and glorify the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us to sow for those, Father, who are without. Today I pray if there's anybody that does not have Jesus in their heart, that today would be the day that they come forward and say, Brother Jerry, I want the Lord in my life. I pray for all Christians, Lord, that we would hear the message from you. God, that we would begin the process of sowing in tears for all those that are without the great things that God has done for us. God, my heart is overjoyed with the things that you've done for this church. God, I pray your blessings on us now. I pray that the presence of God would be right here during this invitation. This is your time, Lord, to speak to us. Help us to listen. Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The invitation is, if you don't know Jesus, come on forward and let's pray about that. Maybe there's something you need to get right with God. You can do that in your pew, or you can do that up here. If this is an invitation, I'm inviting you to come forward. We'll see what God has to do with this. Let's stand.